So we continue our stroll through Genesis. We've got to chapter 6, and we start today at verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, "I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower and middle and upper decks. I'm going to bring flood water on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. They are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them." Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Do you know, as we progress through Genesis chapter 6 and we survey the state of the world at that moment in time, it's fair to say, I think, that things are not too good. We've already seen last week that when God looked at the earth just before this passage, he was deeply troubled to the point that he regretted that he had made human beings and subsequently decided to wipe from the face of the earth the human race. And the reason for this, in a nutshell, in the last passage we read, was because every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Or to put it in the words of the passage we've just read, the earth was corrupt. All the people of the earth had corrupted their ways. The earth was filled with violence. Things were really not very good at all. And so after much heart-wrenching and much sorrow, God decides to destroy both humans and the earth, everything. The picture painted as we progress through Genesis chapter 6 is a bit grim. It's not kind of a reading you would want at your wedding, say, or something like that. You see, the world is so dark. The world is so corrupt. The earth is so devastated that really, when we get to this point, there is no hope. Even the God who created everything and declared it to be good now wants to destroy it because there's no goodness in it. Human beings and creation. If the writer of the book of Genesis was seeking to paint a picture of despair and dismay, then here it is. Right at the beginning of the Bible, we've hardly started. And yet, you know, we're at the depths of despair. But in the midst of all this darkness, in the midst of all this corruption, in among all the violence that is described as being prevalent at the time, there is still a chink of light. There is still one human being who is different, who stands out among the rest. And that, of course, is Noah. Noah and his family. Do you know, I was a little bit peckish this morning, so I picked up a bag of sweets, Bassett's licorice, all sorts. Now, I have a bit of an issue with picking up this bag of sweets because I don't like licorice. In fact, I can't stand licorice. It's really quite disgusting. Do you like licorice? Okay, over to you in a minute. Now, you see, so I can't stand it, but Bertie Bassett's have one redeeming feature. Because in among all this disgusting licorice is one oddity of goodness, for which I'd buy the whole packet. And that, one I prepared earlier, I used to watch Blue Peter, is these. Have you seen these? The ones that are covered in little blue or pink balls, and inside, they're just gorgeous. They don't taste like the other licorice at all. I've got no earthly reason for being there. They are licorice, I am told. They're of the same make and mould, but they're completely different. Anyone had that experience? Hilary, good. You can stay in here the rest of the talk. Everyone else is off. These are completely different. They don't taste horrible. In fact, they taste gorgeous. I would buy a packet of these just for the one oddity of goodness in amongst the grimness that is licorice. Does anyone like licorice here? One. Well, as there's so few of us, feel free to pass them round. I'll just keep that one. You see, the treat you get if you come to church when there's not many people here. But you see, as we look at the devastation of the world, the picture that's painted in the book of Genesis, and we see Noah, he's an ordinary human being, like everyone else. He's made from the same stuff. He's moulded by God's hands. But he's unlike any other person alive. If you like, he's the one oddity of goodness in amongst that which is horrible. And we find ourselves, when we read passages like that in the Bible, saying, well, how? You know, how amidst all the darkness, amidst all the evil, amidst all the corruption, can there be one person who is completely different from the rest? I mean, sure, we're told in the passage that Noah was a righteous man. We're told that he was blameless among the people of the time. We're told that he was faithful to God. And we see, through what happens in this chapter, that he's obedient to God's ways. But honestly, when everyone else around him has gone one way and Noah decides to go another, how can that happen? How can Noah manage to be different when the temptation must have been to be the same? Well, the indication from this passage, when we read it, is that Noah is different because of God. Pure and simply because of God. He's not different because he's righteous in himself. He's not different because he's good in himself. He's not different because he's a perfect human being and everyone else is flawed. He's good and living differently, purely and simply because God chose to reach down into the darkness and pour out his grace on Noah. Or if you like, as we were saying this morning, God issued an invitation and Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord. Now, whether he offered this invitation simply to Noah or whether he offered it to everyone, the Bible doesn't say at this point. But looking at the character of God, a God whose initial desire is to create, a God who saves, a God who transforms, and thinking about what God is like and what God has been up to this point in Genesis, and thinking actually about the reason that God created the people of Israel later on in the Bible to spread the grace of God to the world, it's fair to assume that when God looked at the world and saw all the evil, before he chose to destroy, he first chose to offer to save, issuing an invitation to all people to be taken up. Except, of course, as the passage tells us, when God issued this invitation, when God issued his grace to all people, only Noah responded. Only one person took up the invitation. But he responded wholeheartedly. And you know, it's funny, isn't it? Because often when we read the story of Noah and the ark, whether it's as children or when we're a bit older, the story of a man who was saved from destruction, built an ark and put two of every kind of animal in it, we see a person who actually wasn't very keen on doing this at all. I don't know whether you've seen the film Evan Almighty, but we have a kind of picture of someone who's plucked out of obscurity and is like, no, I don't want to do this. No, I don't want to look stupid and build an ark in the middle of dry land. You know, we see someone who's not really keen on God's idea. And actually, we see someone who everyone else picked on and laughed at. Of course, it all turned out all right in the end, so that's okay. But often, when we look at the story of Noah, we really don't give him any credit. We just think he was a person used by God. And yet here in Genesis chapter 6, if we look closely, we get a completely different picture of this man. Not a man who reluctantly obeyed when put on the spot because no one else would do, but of a man who actually responded to God and then walked faithfully with God before God even asked him to do anything. So that when the time came, when God issued his instructions later on in this passage, Noah, because he walked faithfully with God, could then obey God when it seemed a bit of a strange thing to do. So that in the midst of destruction, humanity could continue. Now, you know, as we meet together today, we've met around the communion table. We've eaten bread, we've drunk wine. And we've remembered Jesus' sacrifice. And whether we fully take it in or not, this table is a reminder of God's grace, of the free invitation given to each one of us, just like the invitation he gave to the people in Noah's time. It's an invitation to participate in a different kind of life. And the invitation is given to us not because of any goodness of our own, not because we've done great deeds and we deserve an invitation, not because we're perfect in certain ways, but rather because it's a gift of God to all people. It's the grace of God. We're told in the Bible, Christ died for us while we were still sinners, and by this God showed how much he loved us. We're told that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're told that it is by grace we have been saved, not by anything else. We have been issued an invitation, just like Noah was among the evil and corruption of his time. And for many of us, just like Noah, we've responded to that invitation at some point in our lives. Amidst the world around us, we have chosen a different route. We have chosen God. The trouble is, when we often get to that point of choosing a different route, when we get to the point of responding to God and accepting the gift of life that he offers, when we get to the point that Noah did at the beginning of the passage, we then, for some reason, forget how to live the next step. We forget what it is to walk faithfully with God from that point on, because that's what Noah did. And instead, we turn following God into a life that's less than it should be. We turn it into, I don't know, you know, dipping in and out of God when it suits, because that helps us, or calling to God in points of need, but when everything's okay, we kind of get along on our own. Or demanding obedience from God, but giving him less obedience from ourselves. So that in the end, we find that instead of living by grace, we're sort of dragging ourselves through Christianity. It's not the exciting walk it used to be.
it's not as great as we thought it was. And instead of walking faithfully like Noah did, we're marching on our own merry path, expecting God to intervene at appropriate moments.
Do you know, before I had James, walking for me was one of two things. I used to walk to get somewhere, if I had to do something, or I would walk to achieve something. I'd climb a hill or a mountain to get to the top, to survey the view and say that I'd done it. Walking was a means to an end. Now that we've got James, I often go for a walk with him on Fridays. And walking is a very different thing now. In fact, it's a whole event in itself. We don't walk to get somewhere. Well, we try. But walking is, well, it's something we do to savour the moment, according to James. You know, we enjoy the wall, and we enjoy the step, and we like the leaves, and we pick up the stones, and we put the stones down, and we sit down in the middle of the pavement because we want to do that. Then we get up. Then we think we'll go on our trike. No, we want to push our trike. No, we want to get on our trike. No, we really don't know what we want to do. And then we wave at people. And then we point at cars. And, do you know, we don't get anywhere. It takes us an hour to go round the block. And at first, this frustrated me beyond anything I'd ever known. Come on, James, come on, we're going somewhere. But now I've realised that actually walking with James is an event in itself, to be enjoyed and savoured. And if I try and put another agenda on it of getting to the shop, I just end up frustrated and annoyed. And you know, as people of God, as a new humanity among the old that is around us, as those who have responded by grace to God, it is really important not only that we know our Bible, know the ways of God, know what God is like, but also learn what it is to walk with him. To walk with him every day. Not what it is to rush off and try and get somewhere on our own, or what it is to try and drag God along with us, but actually to what it is to concentrate on keeping in step with God and his agenda for our lives. Taking our time. Learning patience by waiting for God. Changing our priorities to God's priorities. Learning from the simple things, enjoying the moments that he gives us. Talking everything through with him. Working things out with him. Living with him in the good times, in the bad times, in the ordinary times. Working through the frustration of bowing to someone else's will instead of marching off and setting our own agenda. And you know, maybe if we do that, if we concentrate and see our Christian life as just trying to walk in step with God rather than meet agendas, then maybe amidst the mayhem and the busyness of the world, we might actually enjoy time with him. And be surprised by what he has to teach us along the way. Do you know, Noah sacrificed a lot when he decided to build the ark. And he lost a lot. He would have had friends, and he lost all of them. But he chose to go God's way. He chose to walk faithfully with God, and he chose to accept the results that that would bring to his life. And in doing that, he demonstrated to everyone what a new humanity looked like. And if we do that too, then we will be the same to those around us.